Amen. What encouragement that is this evening. There is hope. And aren't you just glad that our Savior knows everything that we go through and is right there alongside with us. And so thank you, ladies, for that special this evening. What a blessing that was. And it truly is a blessing to be in the Lord's house this evening. And I know it's been somewhat a wearisome week and very, very cold. A lot of ice and a lot of snow. But we are in church this evening. And we're able to open up God's Word. And that ought to be an encouragement to us and a joy to us. And so I encourage you tonight. I know there a lot of us are weary from the week and certainly just the toil of the week and the labor and those kind of things, but let's get plugged in tonight. Realize the Lord has a message from His Word for us, and let me encourage you in that way this evening. Galatians chapter 6 this evening, Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to be preaching a message out of this passage. It's a well-known passage, and I think the Lord certainly has a message in His Word for us tonight. I trust that it'll allow me to be His mouthpiece. Galatians chapter 6, once you've found your place, if you'd stand this evening for the reading of God's Word. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 6 down through verse 9 this evening. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. The Bible says there, "Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." That's a great encouragement of a verse right there. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the service this evening and ask to give us exactly what we have need of. Dear Lord, we do come before you this evening, and we're thankful for your goodness. Lord, we're thankful to be able to be in a place like this to receive the encouragement that we've received tonight. We thank you for the message and song, Lord, that we've just heard. And thank you for the opportunity to, Lord, lift up our voices and to praise you, Lord, through the congregational singing. And Lord, for the sharing of, Lord, blessings and prayer requests this evening. Lord, what a wonderful time we've already had in your house. And I pray that you help us to settle in just for a few moments here this evening into your word as we study through it and see what you have for us, Lord. And I pray that you'd use us. Lord, use me as your preacher this evening to preach a message that you would have me to preach. I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to apply it to our lives. In your name I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Here we have, obviously, the book of Galatians. And many of you realize that the Apostle Paul is the author here. And Paul here is addressing the Christians at the church in Galatia. Now, obviously, a lot of the New Testament epistles are written to a certain people group, but we understand the idea there. While they're directed toward a people group, the Bible has given, or God has given us the entire Bible and its contents for our learning. And certainly each passage is profitable. And so Paul was addressing the Christians at Galatia, and specifically in this passage, and as you read through the book of Galatians, you would see, one of the reasons that the book of Galatians is written was to help to kind of give them some teaching against a false doctrine that had somewhat developed there in Galatia. And the idea of this false doctrine that had crept into the church there at Galatia was this, that they believed in salvation by faith, but beyond that, they believed that they were perfected by the keeping of the law. And so what had happened is the church, there were teachers in that church and possibly some of the people in that church that had started spreading a doctrine that, yes, you did get saved through faith, but in order to stay saved, you had to do good works. And certainly as we read the Bible and understand the Bible, we realize that salvation is a gift from God. No doubt about it. Listen, good works, doing things for Jesus Christ has its place, but we understand this first and foremost. Listen, salvation has nothing to do with our good works. It purely is a gift from God. So we understand that teaching, and so one of the things that you have to keep in mind as you study this passage was the thinking of the Galatians there. Many of them thinking, well, if I can just be good enough to continue my salvation. No, listen, at the point of salvation, they were on their way to heaven, no matter what they brought into salvation. However, we understand this idea of good works for Jesus Christ. Listen, let me help you understand something. If you have true faith, you'll want to please Jesus Christ as you live this life. And so I want you to turn over to James, because James gives us a passage about faith and works. And it's very important for us to study this in light of this passage this evening in James in chapter 2, because James, if you will, was battling a different false doctrine that had crept up in with, amongst, as James writes this book, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. And the teaching that was starting to creep up there was that we are saved by grace. And there is grace and salvation, and praise the Lord for that. But they were saying, because of that, we have liberty to live our lives however we want to live. And we don't have to live a life for Jesus Christ. And listen, yes, true, we are saved by faith. But again, as Christians, we need to be living for Him. And so James says in James chapter 2 and verse 14, he says this, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, and faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" He says very simply, listen, if a brother or sister comes to you and they're cold and they're in need of clothing and they're in need of food, and you look at them and say, listen, go out and be blessed and be warmed and be filled, and you pat them on their back and you send them on their way, it doesn't matter what you send to them. If you don't take action, your words have no meaning. There's really nothing behind that. It's just merely words. And so he helps us to understand, listen, when you say you have faith but you're not willing to serve Jesus Christ, I wonder if that faith is really real. He goes on to say in verse 17, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works." And James says this, "And I will show thee my faith by my works." You see, what we're dealing with is the old saying that says there's a ditch on both sides of the road. You had one group of people that said, listen, we are saved by faith, but in order to stay saved, we've got to continue to work our way to heaven. Listen, the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so that's where one group's thinking was, and that's what Paul is addressing with the Galatians. On the other side of the road, you have this ditch, and where someone says, listen, yes, we are saved by faith, there is grace and salvation, therefore we have liberty, and we can live however we want. And listen, we understand that's not the case as well either, that God does command us. And no doubt the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, listen, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And so as we study this book of Galatians, understand the teaching that Paul is trying to help them with there. As you go back to our Galatians chapter 6, see, Paul is trying to give them some balance as they navigate the Christian life. And so we see here this principle that Paul gives to them in this letter. It's the principle, if you will, first of all, Roman numeral number one, it's the principle of the harvest. Now, the Bible says in verse 6, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." It's a very simple verse that Paul is instructing the Galatians, and very much what he's saying is, listen, as a congregation, you need to take care of the man of God that speaks to you the truth. You need to make sure his needs are met. And listen, what a truth for us to understand. And I'm thankful for a church that takes care of their pastor, a church that is able to encourage their pastor in that way. And let me encourage you to continue to do that. That's a great blessing to the pastor, and it's a biblical thing. And so he says that in verse 6, and then he gets into this principle that he gives them in verse 7, this principle of the harvest. And listen, while this certainly has to do with finances, that which we sow to the flesh will certainly of the flesh reap corruption, and that which we sow to the Spirit in our giving will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I believe that not just in the context of this passage, but in a broader context, understand this applies to very much every part of the Christian life. And so it's not just in finances, and so he helps us out there with this, first of all, the principle of the harvest. And he says there in verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." He says in verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And so the principle is given by Paul to this church at Galatia. Now I want you to understand something tonight. As we live this life, there's really not a whole lot of guarantees in this life, are there? There's not a whole lot of things you can bank on that happening. As we certainly have understood here as of recent days, listen, you really can't trust in finances. You can't put your guarantee in the stock market. Those things are very volatile. We certainly have found out you can't put your trust in the government. We certainly have found out a lot of different things. There's really not any guarantees, but one of the guarantees that we have in this life is what you sow, you will reap. specifically in the farming sense of the idea that if you sow something into the ground, if you take a seed and plant that seed will reap what it is. I mentioned on Sunday night when I was a young boy, I think about 8 or 9 years old, my mom, to keep me busy during one summer, got me a green pepper plant and a tomato plant. And she said, "This is your project, Andy, and you take those out back and you plant those in the ground." Now, I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but I'm not the smartest person that you've ever met. And certainly as an 8-year-old boy, not very smart, but I realized this. As I planted a tomato plant in the ground, that tomato plant was going to reap what? Tomatoes. Certainly as I planted the green pepper plant in the ground, listen, I was convinced, you couldn't convince me any other way, that that is exactly what I was going to reap with that. Listen, my point being tonight, I don't think we would argue the truth of this passage that we read here. What you sow, that's what you will reap. In fact, he says in verse 7, he says right there, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that," and that word "that" is a very key word here, "that is what he shall also reap." And so what we place into the ground in the farming sense, what we sow will reap, but certainly in every area of the Christian life, what we sow to, that's what we're going to reap from. And so while certainly this is a true gardening principle tonight, understand the Bible isn't a manual for farmers. And so we have to make application in the Christian life. Why does he give us this passage, and what does he have to tell us here? Well, I want you to see there the idea of the principle of the harvest. You see, there's a harvest coming one of these days, and what we sow to is what we're going to reap in that time of harvest. And so the Bible says in verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You know, as I studied that tonight, realize this, there's only two choices that you can make as you live the Christian life. You'll either sow to yourself, you'll do what you want to do, you'll please the flesh and sow to the flesh. And the Bible tells us what happens when you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. Or on the other side of the coin, you can sow to the Spirit, and in sowing to the Spirit, reap life everlasting. Now understand this tonight, as Christians, there's only two choices. But also understand this idea that you will choose one or the other. You cannot come to this passage and remain neutral. In other words, you cannot come to it and say, "Well, you know, I'm not really going to sow to the Spirit in my life. I'm going to kind of say somewhere in between of sowing to the Spirit or sowing to the flesh." No, I'm here to help you to understand tonight. Listen, unless you're intentionally sowing to the Spirit, you're going to sow to the flesh in your life. That's the idea of the natural man. Listen, the sin nature dictates that, listen, unless we're yielding to the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're going to be sown to the flesh. Now as we read this idea, no doubt about it, the effects of sowing to the flesh are found right there in verse 8. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Here's the principle of the harvest. We understand that what you sow, that you shall reap. So as the Christian, if we're constantly sowing to the flesh, if we're constantly doing what we want to do, the Bible says we will reap corruption from that. Now understand the idea of corruption this evening. When we say something has been corrupted, it means there's really no value in it whatsoever, is it? I mean, you could take something that was corrupted, maybe it's a piece of food that has gone through the decaying process and is corrupted. No one wants that. It's of no value. Oftentimes we'll say maybe a file in a computer gets corrupted, and really it's of no use because of the virus that it gets in that computer. And so the idea there, listen, the effects of sowing to the flesh, there's nothing to show for it. In other words, you can be saved by grace and live the rest of your life sowing to the flesh, and you'll have absolutely nothing to show for it. In fact, go back to chapter 5, because I want you to see here, he gives us some of the works of the flesh. Chapter 5 and verse 19, he says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." You look at that list, and that's kind of a ugly list to look at, isn't it? You look at those things that are developed, listen, when we're sowing to the flesh. And understand, listen, this list is what the natural man produces. Someone that isn't saved cannot sow to the Spirit. And so someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ as a Savior, this is the natural man. In fact, he goes on to say in verse 21, he goes, "Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." In other words, again, this is for the natural man. And listen, those that cannot sow to the Spirit will automatically, obviously, sow to the flesh. But isn't it a shame that there's sometimes as Christians, when we ought to be sowing to the Spirit, that we're sowing to the flesh, and these things are developed in our lives? And certainly the choice to sow to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But then look at, he gives us the effects of sowing to the Spirit. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." As I take great encouragement in this verse tonight, because the things that you do for Christ, they gain an eternal value. Listen, the blessings here on this earth, that's a great reward to have from Christ for sowing to the Spirit. But understand this, the principle of the harvest realizes that those things will never fade away. They gain an eternal value. And sometimes, listen, we have to approach this life with an eternal perspective instead of seeing those things that are right before us. And realize the principle of the harvest here tonight. In fact, in chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23, he gives the fruit of the Spirit. When we're sowing to the Spirit, these things are developed. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And he says, listen, as you're sowing to the Spirit, these things are developed. And yes, that is what God should be developing in our hearts and in our lives. But look in verse 24. Paul kind of clears off a spot here and starts to preach to them. He says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." He says, listen, understand this. If you are of Christ, if you've been bought with a price, listen, you should be crucifying the flesh. You should be setting those things aside. Listen, the person that is saved by grace, there is no reason to sow to the flesh. Every part of our life should be sowing to the Spirit and yielding to God. And he says, they that be of Christ, this is what they should be doing. And then he says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Here's the question you have to ask yourself. If I've been saved and I'm living in the Spirit, why would I want to yield to the flesh? Why would I want to go in my life and reject the Holy Spirit's leading in my life and yield to the flesh and realize the things that are developed in the heart of the natural man? And so the question we have to ask ourselves this tonight is, am I crucifying the flesh daily? Understanding the principle of the harvest, that one of these days I'm going to reap a harvest. There's the principle there, and if I sow to the flesh, I'll reap corruption. But if I sow to the Spirit, I'll reap life everlasting. The question this evening is, am I crucifying the flesh daily? Am I yielding to what God wants me to do? Am I making decisions based upon Him? I mean, think about your day today. Think about the time you got up this morning and throughout the day. Have you yielded to the flesh today? Or have you yielded to the Spirit? And think about tomorrow when you get up. What will the question be? Will I yield to the flesh or will I yield to the Spirit? And certainly, listen, the flesh is constantly warring against the Spirit. And so many times it's very easy to yield to the flesh. But as Christians, why would we ever want to do that? And so the idea here tonight is, listen, we're not ignorant of the principle of the harvest. We understand. And so first of all, from this passage in Galatians chapter 6, we see the principle of the harvest. But secondly tonight, I want you to see not only the principle of the harvest, but I want you to see the preparer of the harvest, the person who prepares the harvest. Look at verse 7, if you will, back in Galatians chapter 6. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Understand that we have the principle of the harvest, but understand also that it is God who prepares the harvest for us. Listen, as you live your life in service to Him, as you labor for Him, as you sow to the Spirit, understand this, God is taking note of those things. And God sees those things. God sees when you yield to the Spirit, and He is preparing a harvest. Boy, there's great blessing in that tonight, because it's God that gives the harvest. Understand this, listen, God is unchanging. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Understand, listen, if God is unchanging, if the Word of God is forever settled in heaven, then we must realize tonight we aren't going to be the exception to this rule. I have to realize, listen, if I'm sowing to the flesh, I'm really going to have nothing to show for it. I was thinking about this yesterday, especially as I was studying through this. I received a call recently from someone. It was an accidental call. They accidentally called me, and then we got to talking, and they recognized my voice, and it'd been someone I hadn't talked to in several years, and this person somehow had my contact in their phone, and they accidentally called me, and we got to talking. Now, this person is a saved individual. They're a member of a church. They're baptized. They're saved. And yet, for several years, they've not gone to church. And he began to talk to me on the phone, and he said, you know, he goes, me and my wife were just talking about it. He goes, we need to get back to church. He said, listen, Brother Andy, he said, it's been several years since we've been in church. Every time we make a plan to go, something comes up. And I began to encourage him, yes, you need to be in church. That's where God can speak to you, and that's what God can do in your life. And you know, he said, you wouldn't believe the things that have happened in the last couple of years. He said, listen, just bad thing after bad thing. And I want you to understand something. The principle was playing out right in his life. Listen, because he had been sowing to the flesh, God could not bless him. And then I was thinking in contrast to that, just yesterday, I was up at the hospital visiting Brother Tom Grimsley. And we were sitting there, and he was kind of telling me of some of the things that he's dealing with. And he looked at me, he said, you know, Andy, he goes, this body's old. He goes, but God's blessed me. And he said, I have had the ability to watch my grandson be raised in church and now serving the Lord, and now God is allowing me to watch my great-grandson be raised in a Christian family. Understand, listen, he understood the idea of not only the principle of the harvest, that when you sow to the Spirit, you'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting, but he also understood the preparer of the harvest, that God is the preparer of the harvest. And listen, the Bible tells us there in verse 7, be not deceived, and God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen, I want you to understand that the devil would have you to believe tonight that you can sow to the flesh and still be happy. He'd have you to believe that you can go throughout life and live life however you want. Yes, you are saved by grace, and much like those Christians in James believe that, yes, we're saved by faith, but we can live however we want and still be happy. And understand, listen, this principle is still this principle, that God is still the preparer of the harvest. And listen, if you're sowing to the flesh, you'll love the flesh, reap corruption. But if you're sowing to the Spirit, you'll love the Spirit, reap life everlasting. Listen, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Why would we walk in any other direction than yielding to the Holy Spirit of God? Oh, we see the principle of the harvest, and certainly we see the preparer of the harvest, but finally tonight I want you to see here in this passage the patience in waiting on the harvest. The patience in waiting on the harvest. Look at verse 9. The Bible says there, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Boy, what a promise is given to us in the Scripture here tonight. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season here, listen, this is a promise, we shall reap if we faint not. Boy, I'm encouraged tonight because, listen, I know the principle of the harvest. I understand what God has presented to us in His Word, that if you'll sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. It's a great encouragement for the Christian that's sowing to the Spirit, realizing, listen, the harvest may not be today, but the harvest is coming. We know the principle of the harvest. We know what we're going to reap because we've been sowing to the Spirit. Not only do that, we know that. Listen, I'm encouraged tonight because I know the preparer of the harvest. I know that God is good, and I know that God will keep His promises. And understand this tonight. Listen, we may labor for the Lord sometimes, and not a whole lot of people may notice. I mean, you may just be faithfully serving the Lord, and it may feel like maybe no one ever recognizes here on this earth the things that you're doing and laboring for the Lord. It may be a behind-the-scenes type of ministry, but can I help you to realize tonight that God is watching? And God is taking note, and God is taking account for those things, and there is a harvest coming one of these days. And we can be encouraged tonight Because we know not only the principal of the harvest, we know the preparer of the harvest. But in due season, there is a time of harvest. There's a time of patiently waiting for that harvest. Now listen, I don't know much about farming. But this one thing I do know. You don't go out today and put a seed in the ground. And then 24 hours later.